Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Faye Clark.
I was just reminded, God was reminding me when we were worshipping about the scripture that I brought last time. I brought a message to you guys about in Genesis when God created Adam, and it was the only thing that he created that he actually breathed his own breath into. It's the only thing he created for intimacy. And yeah, just as we prepare ourselves to listen to the word and the message that he's got for our lives today, that it's because he wants to be intimate with us. It's because he loves us. It's because he wants us to go from glory to glory and strength to strength. So yeah, Father, I thank you that today, in my weakness, Father, you are glorified. God, I pray for your word as it goes forth today that it's going to accomplish all that you want it to. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a really practical word today, guys. I'm excited. It's called, Are You a Devoted Follower? And I'm going to be bringing a message this morning based on Acts 2 and what we can learn from our brothers and sisters in the early church, because we are still the Acts church now. It wasn't the Acts church in Acts 2. That wasn't the church, and now we're a different church. We're still part of the Acts 2 church. And I was thinking on the message that Steve brought a couple of weeks ago on Hebrews 10 and how we can practically outwork some of that. And alongside that, I've been reading Acts 2 to try and help me to understand more about fellowship and why it was important to the disciples, and so is equally as important to us today. And why? Why was it so important for their walk? Why was it so important to them? Why was it out of that fellowship that they saw such a massive move of God? So I started by looking up in the dictionary the word fellowship. And it says this: companionship, friendly association, mutual sharing of experiences, activities, or interests. A group of people with the same interests. Brotherhood. I liked that word in the dictionary. I thought it was an unusual word for the dictionary to use, actually. But to me, brotherhood speaks of oneness, of strength, of working together, unity, teamwork. Just one mind, one heart, one spirit, one accord, a likeness. And the Greek word for fellowship, and I don't know if I'm going to say this right, so if anybody wants to correct me, please do. I think it's koinonia. There we go. I knew that Pastor Lynn would know. I was nearly there. I need to practice my Greek. I'm not very good at it. And it comes from a root meaning common or shared. So fellowship means common participation in something, either by giving what you have to the other person or receiving what they have for you. But it's this, it's twofold. Either you giving or somebody giving to you. It takes more than one person. Get this, we can't fellowship on our own. It tells us in the dictionary definition and in the Greek word. So to fellowship means that there has to be more than one party. Okay, and we read in Acts 2 that the early church was devoted to fellowship. Okay, the early church met day by day in the temple. They were eating dinner together. They were in and out of each other's homes. Now here's the challenging bit. I believe, and I believe that God's been speaking to me, that in order for us to have exponential growth that the early church did, we must ourselves devote ourselves to fellowship with one another. Ooh, so hard, isn't it? What a challenge. Do we want to see God's kingdom advance? Yeah. The early church were passionate about seeing the kingdom of God advance. They devoted themselves. There's something that draws people in when they see people devoted to one another. The world is seeking to be accepted. People in the world are seeking a place of refuge, of acceptance, a place of belonging, a place where they're going to walk in, they're going to be loved, they're going to be part of something bigger than themselves. And guys, that's us. That was the early church. That is why they saw the church growing every day. That is why they saw signs, wonders, and miracles, because they devoted themselves to God, and they devoted themselves to one another, and they devoted themselves to the work of the King of Kings. So Acts 2, we will get to scripture, because it is scriptural what I'm bringing. Okay, Acts 2, 42 to 47 says this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, really important, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper or communion, and to prayer. Lots of things there. I'm only picking up on one today, but all of those things are really important. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all of the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property, ouch, and possessions, ouch, and shared the money, ooh, ow, with those in need. Oh, I'm just being honest, they're painful things, aren't they? You know, we hold them dear. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. Now, this isn't just a good story, guys. The Bible helps us to live our lives. It's what God has provided for us to help us on our section of the church's journey. All right? It means that it's there for a reason. Nice scripture we all focus on, and they added to the church daily. Great. But something came before that. They didn't just get up one morning and walk out in the streets and everybody, there was a big outpouring of the Holy Spirit and everybody was on their knees repenting. They did something together. There was one heart, one mind, one spirit, one vision to see the kingdom come and God's kingdom advance. So, why did I choose fellowship? Well, one, because that's what God told me to speak on, which is really important. But there's lots of things in there. There's prayer. There's meeting together. There's worshipping together. God wants us to do something about fellowship, else he wouldn't have given us the message. So it is practical. But first of all, why? Why do we need to fellowship? So number one, fellowship builds faith. Okay. I believe that we can see clearly from scripture the importance of fellowship with one another and how it builds our faith. And I honestly believe that we cannot stand strong in our faith if we do not fellowship. We can't stay strong if we don't contact one another. We can't stay strong if we're not together. Fellowship's not simply watching a movie and grabbing a coffee, guys. That's good. But it isn't just having a beer or eating a meal together. Fellowship takes place when Christians talk about God together. I'm not saying that you can't talk about footy or Brexit or politics, whatever it is that you want to talk about. There's nothing wrong with talking about things on a superficial level. But fellowship is about talking about God together, encouraging one another, chatting about the word together, praying together. Fellowship builds faith. As Christians, we lean on other people. We're called by the same name to help us to grow and to mature in our individual faith. And I think it's great that just by talking about God, we grow in our faith. And I don't know about you, whether you've experienced that or not. And when I was preparing this, I was just thinking back on my walk with God. And I was thinking about when the nuns were here, and Steve and I used to spend a lot of time with them. And the nuns were a family that were in this church. They're missionaries at the Bible College near us. They moved back to London, just so you guys that don't know them know who they are. And me and Steve's my husband, sitting just here. He's amazing. But we used to spend a lot of time with them, and I used to leave and I used to say to Steve, I feel like I've been under a waterfall of refreshing. Every time I went into their home, every time I spent time with them, and every time we left, I felt refreshed. And the only way that I could explain it was that I'd been sitting under a waterfall of the Holy Spirit. And I'd feel uplifted and I'd feel light. Not because, you know, we did talk about other stuff, but we talked about God a lot. And when I was preparing this, I just had that revelation that it was that fellowship, talking about God, praying together, sharing what God was doing in our lives, and just being, that was building faith in Steve and I. And so sometimes we don't realise that that time that we take to fellowship is building not just faith in me and you, but whoever we're with. It's not just about you, it's about the other people. The nature of fellowship, it builds our faith when we're together. So key one, fellowship builds faith. Key two, fellowship builds accountability. Ooh. Ow. That's a sore one, isn't it? Sometimes we don't like to be accountable, do we? Maybe it's just me. It's a bit of a challenge. I find it a bit of a challenge sometimes. But in Proverbs 27 and verse 17, it says this. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. It's in here for a reason, guys. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Fellowship builds accountability. It helps us become sharper. It builds our faith. It brings us into line with his word. It brings correction in love. One reason we should be devoted to fellowship is because it builds accountability. I think it's really important for our faith. I would even dare to make this suggestion, that you find a friend who's a Christian outside of your family that you can talk to about things that you're struggling with in your faith and ask them to check up on you and to encourage you. It makes you accountable, but it makes them accountable to you because they've got to do it. When Steve and I were preparing to get married, we ensured that we had our family, obviously, but we ensured that we had friends that we had specifically chosen to make ourselves accountable to. Saying things to us like, guys, is it really wise to spend time on your own together at Faye's house? Not really, is it? No, because they were wise and we were accountable. And we wanted to start our marriage in a way that honoured God. We didn't want to fall before we got there. Because God had put us together and we wanted it to be that perfect union at the right time before God. And so I believe that if we hadn't have done that, you know, come on guys, you don't get married if you're not attracted to one another, let's be honest. These things happen if we're not accountable. When we make ourselves accountable, there's people there to encourage us. There's people there to bring correction. There's people there to go, really? You sure about that? Is that in line with God's word? Is it wise? Yeah. No. Of course it's wise. No, it really isn't. Don't do it. Stay faithful to God, because then he'll be faithful to you. Stay in God's blessing, because then he can outpour abundantly on you. God set us in his family for a purpose. The word is clear. Have people around you that are going to help you, love you, encourage you, build you up. And likewise, the other way around. Remember that dictionary definition? Takes two to fellowship. If you were to take a bunch of burning coals and lay them together, you have a strong fire. But if you take one of those coals out, what is going to happen to that coal. Cool, and eventually it's going to die. I know, yours was a bit nicer than mine, wasn't it, Tony? Yours was a bit more gentle. If you take that coal out of that burning fire, it's going to die. I'm not going to be as nice. It's going to slowly ember out and possibly there won't be any flame. No, it's going to die. Guys, if we take ourselves out of that fellowship, if we're not connecting, if we take ourselves out of that fire, we are slowly going to die. My responsibility, your responsibility, our responsibility, corporately. Okay. Fellowship builds accountability. Key three, fellowship builds relationship. Oh, there's not many smiles this morning. Come on, it's practical. God's a practical God. This is great because God wants to help us move to the next level of where he's taking us. Supernatural, exponential growth. So when researching this, I found this story. And I have to say, I was really sad. Ooh, felt a little bit emotional then. Won't cry. I haven't been very well, so I am feeling a little bit emosh. And it said this. There was once a lady who began coming to church, and she came for several weeks. She came in at 10:30, so the worship started. And she left as the worship ended. And one day she decided to stop after church to see what would happen. And nobody connected with her. And 3 weeks later, the pastor went to visit her and said, "Why didn't you come back?" She said, "Because nobody built relationship with me." And on that day, we lost somebody for the kingdom. I think that's sad. I think that's sad. And I think the church loses a lot of people like that. That's sad. Every Sunday in churches around the world, I'm sure that we lose potential disciples because the Church of God aren't fellowshipping. Because the Church of God aren't building relationship. Or are we not accessible enough? Because we're still inward looking. Jesus, when he was here, he was outward looking. He left the 99 and went after the one. He was the one that said, "If you're without sin, you cast the first stone." He was never the one that wasn't accessible. He always made people feel welcome and included. And I've learned, guys, it takes effort and time to develop relationship. It takes us looking beyond ourselves to embrace people. It's easy to embrace the people that we like. But that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to embrace everybody. Because this is a family. This is a family. Have I got tissue in my bag? If you want to build a good friendship in church, then you need to get involved. You can't expect good relationships to be built if you're not fellowshipping with other Christians. The early church was really, really close-knit. They were all together and had everything in common. And they got along great. Now, I don't think that there wasn't a few bickers. we've got to be real, haven't we? You know, there's bickers in our family. There's niggles when we spend time together. Oh, when Steve's off on a Saturday and he's not, you know, getting up at 3 o'clock, we have niggles, I can tell you, because he's wriggling around at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, really? I know you've had a 2-hour lie-in, but come on. This is too early. But they saw it beyond themselves. They were all together and had everything in common and got along great. That's what the word says. And I believe that's because they devoted themselves to fellowship. They spent time to get to know what one another's love language was, I guess. They got time to know what bugged people and so refrained from doing it. Most of the time, I'm sure. You know, with Christ at the centre of marriages, they're strong. With Christ at the centre of friendships, they're strong. Whatever Christ is at the centre of, it becomes strong. Fellowship builds relationships because of the encouragement that is received from one another when we spend quality time together. And Hebrews 3, verse 13 says this: you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. I've got a nice one here. It says, but encourage one another every day, because it's called today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes, because tomorrow is then today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. We need to make sure that we have daily fellowship together with others in Christ, because our fellowship not only helps us, but it helps them. Now, listen, I'm not saying that every day you've got to invite somebody around for dinner. All right? We're in a modern world of technology. Send a text. Make a call. Send an email. When we encourage people, we ourselves are encouraged. That is why the Hebrew writer can say to encourage one another every day. The fellowship that we need to have is not sporadic. Sunday is not enough. You know, there's lots of people. There's people upstairs teaching our kids. I can tell you now, by the time they have set up this morning, bought some teaching, tidied, washed up, we know this, don't we, Sharon? Vacuumed and come downstairs, most people here will have gone home. They don't get to fellowship. And so if they don't get to fellowship on a Sunday, and they don't see you guys till next Sunday, and they're upstairs again, how are we encouraging them? I'm just asking the question. Did you ever think that the encouraging words you might just say have helped somebody else? The hug you might give might change somebody's situation and circumstance without you even knowing. The fellowship that we have with each other is so important. Not just to our physical being, but our spiritual well-being. We are obligated to fellowship regularly. That's what the word says. Oh, look, it's some very grumpy faces in here. Come on, guys. I'm trying to encourage you. I want the best for you. You're my family. You're my friends. You're my brothers and sisters. This is hard for me too. This means I've got to do something. I'm bringing the word. I've definitely got to do something. And I was chatting with Steve and a few others about the great time that we had last Saturday at our first ECC games night. It was amazing. It was relaxed. People were enjoying themselves. People were laughing. People were talking about stuff. Hopefully they were talking about Jesus as well. I hope so. And they were saying, we need more times like this for us to enjoy being together. And people in Boston can come in and be part of that fun and acceptance and having fun together. And Acts 2, 46 to 47 says this: they followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals. Every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw, and every day their numbers grew. People liked what they saw. Sorry, Angus, I know mine was a slightly different version there. Every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful. And this got me thinking. This scripture says the joy, there's a scripture that says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I was thinking about how meals are physically strengthening. We have to have our meals so that we're strong physically. But then I was thinking about how these meals can be spiritually strengthening as well. What if we made every meal time together with our families and others a time of joy, of celebration? Not just physical nourishment, but spiritual nourishment. I'm just talking about our family time now. I'm talking about you inviting somebody around to make it joyful. What if we made every meal time around our table a celebration, exuberant joy, sharing about Jesus together, eating dinner together? Our families, our children would not just become physically strong, but they would be spiritually nourished as well. How's that going to change the dynamic for our kids? What if we made a conscious decision to invite someone over for a cuppa or a meal every week? What if we invited somebody for dinner on a Sunday after church so you could chat about the word that you'd just received? What if you did life together with somebody on a Sunday, not just physically nourishing them, but spiritually encouraging them and building them up? How different would this place look? How different would we be as individuals? Faith built in fellowship. Accountability built in fellowship. Relationship built in fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says this in the Message version. Sorry, Angus. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. Get this. No one left out. Nobody left behind. I know you're already doing it, so keep going. Nobody left out, nobody left behind. That lady wouldn't have walked away from that church. Because no one would have been left out, nobody would have been left behind. I love it. Let's be a people who build up hope, not leaving anyone behind, not leaving anybody out. Wow. How good would people feel coming in on a Sunday, having already been encouraged and built up through the week? How different would you feel? I'd feel amazing. It'd be awesome. If I had a text every day from somebody just encouraging me in the Lord, a Bible scripture, even a, how are you doing? How often do we go, yeah, I'm fine? Hashtag not really. We don't have relationship. We can't go, do you know what? Actually, I'm having a really rubbish week. I'm feeling pretty rubbish. The sickness in my family. Work's really tough. When we've got relationship and we get a text, how are you doing? Ah, a bit rubbish. I'm praying for you. And then someone sends you a scripture that builds your faith, that builds your strength, that releases the power of the kingdom into your life. Audrey is amazing at this. I very often get a text at work and it transforms my day. And I'm like, how does she know? How does she know I just needed to receive that text? How does she know I just needed that email? It's amazing. Because God's faithful. I think the greatest benefit of the fellowship that exists between Christians is that it builds the kingdom. It's what we're called to do, guys. Acts 2:47, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily Get this. Our fellowship's a witness to the community. The local church will grow if the people in the church devote themselves to fellowshiping with one another. The Bible tells us it will. We have to do whatever it takes to spend more time with one another in and out of church. It's a great witness to our community. That's going to take a little bit of sacrifice. And it doesn't have to be the people that you know really well. You might surprise yourself by inviting somebody for a cuppa that you don't spend much time with. Because they're amazing as well. And they've got something to sow into you, and you've got something to sow into them. No one left out. No one left behind. I hope that you see that your presence is important in the kingdom. Because when we see fellowship as unimportant, the church doesn't grow. So, we're nearly done. Why fellowship? It builds. Yeah. Why fellowship? Yeah. Why fellowship? Yeah. So, my practical challenge today is, what can you do? I want to say this. Don't wait for somebody to invite you thinking that everybody else is getting invited somewhere. Because I can tell you now, that's not happening. I am not getting invited everywhere, and I want to be. But I'm not sitting at home thinking, oh, why has nobody invited me around? What? What's wrong with me? Get encouraging. You don't have to put on a banquet, all right? You don't have to put on an amazing three-course meal with scallops and ribeye steak and waffle berry, followed by cheese and biscuits and a nice glass of port and a different wine for every course. Feel free, however, to invite me to that, because I will say yes. And Steve would definitely say yes if you've got scallops on the starter menu, I can tell you. He doesn't get it. We get a taxi. And if we're really fellowshipping, they'll drive me home, because they love me. Joking aside, okay, it's about strengthening one another. It's not about putting on a big banquet. Invite someone around for a cup of tea. Don't wait for somebody to put on a games night. Although we are having another one in December, you'll be glad to know. Don't wait for somebody else to put on a men's event or a sweet treat night. How about this? Before you leave today, why don't you invite somebody out for coffee next week? Oh, radical! Controversial! Out of your comfort zone! Tony's off, he's not very well. Invite him for a cuppa and pray for his arm. When we step out, signs, wonders and miracles follow. How about this? You invite someone for coffee that you don't normally see for coffee. Wow! So radical in the family of God. What might happen? Exponential growth. Drop someone a text. Make a phone call. How about this? If somebody's not here on a Sunday, why don't you drop them a text and say, we really missed you. Not, where were you? Do not send a text saying, where were you on Sunday and why were you not at church? How about you send a text and say, oh man, I missed you on Sunday. Are you all right? Do you fancy getting together for a cuppa? How much more embracing is, where were you on Sunday? And why weren't you at church? How much more encouraging is that? Oh, I'd love it if I got a text from someone to say, can I take you out for coffee on Saturday? I'd be like, Steve, you can have time. I'm going out for coffee. Might even have a piece of cake. Oh no, push the boat out. body's not the same when somebody's not here. Something's missing. We need to encourage that person. We need to build that person up. We need to make sure they're all right. That's what Jesus would have done. Your invite might be just what that person needs. How radical is that? Because God uses you. Just enjoy chatting about God. Just enjoy chatting about what he's doing. Don't sit back and do nothing. Do something. Hey, and we're really good at cake. This church is good at cake. We don't have a prayer response this morning because we don't need to come before God and repent for not being in fellowship. We just need to do it. My challenge is to you guys this week. What can you do to build faith? To build relationship? To fellowship with one another? Not just on a superficial level over coffee. Because my Bible says that God added to their number daily. I want to see the church, not just this church, not about numbers. I want to see the kingdom of God advance. And if this is what I've got to do, then by goodness, I'm going to take a hold of it. God wouldn't have given us this message this morning if we didn't need to act, because he loves us. Amen. Amen.